And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis. And in chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we've been looking at the Spirit of God's essential, necessary ministry as he exercises the wonderful benefit of God the Father and God the Son going to Calvary's cross, paying for our sin. So that makes possible a relationship. That relationship was lost in the beginning. They had it, but then lost it. So, here in Genesis chapter 3, picking up, please, Adam and Eve sinned, and when that happened, what led to that, the thinking? Chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes to see, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And what you're looking at in there, if you can, is in the middle of the verse, the food was pleasant to the eyes. And in particular, the tree was to be desired to make one wise. To know something, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And remember in verse 5 what she was having to wrestle with. For God doth know the devil's sin. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. Remember, only one God at this time. That's the word Elohim, Genesis 1:1, the beginning God. Same word. It's the same word as the beginning of verse. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, you shall open your eyes, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. A desire. They went from light, seeing, to not seeing. Seeing, not seeing. Light, darkness. And when they went to darkness, they knew light. They knew light. They had light, but they don't have it anymore. It's darkness. And God comes along in his wonderful grace, and they're guilty as can be, because they went from being wonderfully covered to nakedness, exposure. What do you mean? Here's your life, made in the image and likeness of God, and God's missing. God's missing. We're naked. We're naked. Now, hang on to that desire. And therefore, that's whether they got Adam and Cain and Abel and Cain came along, and they had to be saved. Cain did not get saved. Cain stayed in the dark. Abel believed like his parents, and he had a darkness, but he was now saved. Adam and Eve have darkness, but they're now saved. So they have God. They have their old nature. That's where it comes from, Romans 5. We got our old nature. Adam and Eve had an old nature, and now they have a relationship to God. And Christ has to die, Genesis 3:15, to pay for the sin of what they've just done. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, That's the desire, and that desire controls. That in the dark, we're in the dark, and the desire now, when we desire to make one wise. Now, just to see that, to catch it, and lead into it, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, if I may, 1 John in chapter 2, and you remember it as we did in 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For, why? Because the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they ended up being in the world, in darkness, the world of darkness. And in the world of darkness, there is no light, so there's no way to see for sure about anything. We can call anything we want. That's why we can be religious in the darkness. We're free in the darkness to say all kinds of stupid things and do all kinds of stupid things because it's dark. And in the darkness, who's going to challenge you? It's your right to think in the darkness as you want. Darkness, our flesh, and the desire. So now you needed that little bit. That's where us humans are. We're locked into the darkness, and we don't have light. We're locked into death, and we don't have life. That's where we are. So we need light and life. Now, so when you get come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing, and God provides and restores the relationship. Remember, we did all these things. If you just remember them, you have body and you live inside your body. And you inside your body, the body houses the soul. The soul houses the spirit. And you're made body, soul, spirit. And you live in here. So now, and that's what you need to know. And to lock that in a little bit, just so you understand it. If you lost your arm, would you still be the same? If you lost both arms, would you still be the same? If you had a double amputee, arms and legs, would you still be in here? It isn't, you aren't in your body. You aren't in your head. You're in him. You live inside this body. Understand that. It isn't you. This isn't you. This is your framework, the body you live in. So don't mix them up. Don't get caught up in that. You know, if I lose this in my body, I'll not be the same. You'll be just the same. Just the same. And there's no question, if you lost your brains, you won't have to worry again. That come out all right? You lose your brains, you won't have to worry ever. Okay, now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, exercise that. The Spirit of God wants to restore that wonderful relationship that God has made possible. And that's his ministry. So over to Galatians. And so the Spirit of God is, remember, you think of the filament, Everyone has a light bulb. That's your spirit. And the spirit is lightless. It's dead. When I receive the Lord as my Savior, the spirit doesn't come into my body in that sense. We're made to have not my body, my person inside my body is made to have a unique relationship to God. The person, the body dies. The person never dies. Heaven or hell, but one or the other, you never die. You're made that way. You're made with a spirit. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, God, and He saves me. He saves me spiritually. God is spirit, and everyone that worships Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I receive, and God, like, it isn't my body. The Spirit of God is able to have that personal relationship to me because of my spirit. And when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He plugs us in. He connects us to God. And as we look to God and enjoy that connection, then we enjoy light. That's what we do. We enjoy the light. When I don't enjoy the light, it's out. In and out. In and out. Hang on to that. Just that part. Now, have we got that part? In Galatians. You'll remember we did Galatians 5, but pick it up if I can in chapter 5. And may I go to verse 24. I'm going to read verse 23 so you see it. I'll read verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's life. It has life. It's just life. There is no law to have life. You have life by the fruit of the Spirit of God. And they, verse 24, that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, and the lust. The word lust, to desire, the word, when you see lust, most of the time, desire. The desire, the strong desire to attach itself to something, to reach out and want something so much. I desire the tissue, and I reach out to get the tissue. Genesis 3:6, Eve desired to be wise. She said, it's worth taking it, to be wise. Now, having said that, the lust, that's the word lust, just so you see it, and grab it, because you need that. Because that's what you're up against. You just read it in 1 John 5, verse John 2, 15 and 16. Love not the world, and the lust thereof, as it were. Now, so here, if I can just run it by you. See, a little illustration. Go with me to 1 Peter, not far away. Well, it's a little far away. 1 Peter. And remember the word to desire, and you'll see it. We're admonished not to lust. Don't lust. That's your old nature. So, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That's how you used to do it. In the dark, you desired and went after whatever. You desired it. You desired something, you desired and you went after it. Chapter 2. And in chapter 2, in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. It's your old nature that is against God's wonderful grace in your life. That's why you got the conflict, Galatians 5 and 17, between your old nature and your new. You have a conflict. You want to have what God wants, but your old nature says, I don't want what God wants. So therefore, in chapter 4, and verse 2, that we no longer should live the rest of this time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Verse 3, for the time past of our life, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. We used to live like that. When we got light, we walk in the light and not in the darkness anymore. We don't want to do that. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What for? In order that purpose, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature of your relationship to God in Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is the problem. That's our old nature, lusting, lusting, lusting. That's what we do. And go back over to James, right, not nearby, and look at it again, so you know it. James chapter 1 and verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his spirit. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. That when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, etc. Lust, lust, lust. Just wanted you to see that, the lust part. So it's desire. That's your old nature. Nothing wrong with it. I want that. I do that. I go for this. That's what we do. That's what we do. The trouble is we do it in the dark. And God says you need to walk in the light. Back over to Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll cover the next little bit. And in Galatians chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 25. Now, we read verse 24, so you're just following suit. 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If, first class condition, if, since, first class, not a question, it's if, the reality. If, since, or the word since to help you, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Since we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith. And there you're going to see it all over the place. All of this is all over. Chapter 5, if I can, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust thereof, of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not under the law. If you're the Spirit of God, why? Because Christ paid for the law and gave you his wonderful life, his righteousness. And so therefore, looking to God to help us, we need the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to outwork God's wonderful will in our life and for our life. And we have an understanding. We got an old nature. We got an old nature, and it's there. It never goes away. That's because you're a body, soul, spirit. And you have that. And until God sanctifies it and takes you home and gets rid of this old body that you live in, you're going to have it. And you're going to have the problem. You're going to have the problem as a believer. You're either, an old nature is contrary to the old nature's. Old nature wants this. The new nature wants this. And they're back and forth all the time. That's what you have to contend with as you walk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've got to contend with this problem. Before you got saved, there was no problem. Nothing's a problem. Everything's dark. And it goes along with the rest of the people I work with and go to school with and even live with. They're in the dark too. So we all get along pretty good in the dark. We do. But if I'm going to walk and enjoy my life in Christ, I have to understand I've got that old nature. And I have to exercise my relationship to God. And as I trust God, which is what we're trying to understand better, be filled with the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, okay. I want to have the light on. But at any moment, I can turn it off. Off and on, off and on, off and on. That's how you live your life. That's how you'll live the rest of today. You'll live just like that. You may be even doing that now. We do it now. I don't want to understand that. Oh, I don't like that. Yep. Dark. See, dark, light. You want light. So that's what we're working on right now. We're trying to stay lit. How's that? Now, okay. And in the process, aren't you glad God made you so simple? Body, soul, spirit, to enjoy Him. Not complicated, rather awesomely simple. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they always had the light on. And when they hadn't sinned, it's when they sinned the light went out. Now, so having said that, hope I can please in the light of that, and and we're to be changed in the most wonderful, wonderful way. The Spirit of God is going to change us and to be like Him, 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we look and we walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So as we walk in the light, as we're back in the light again, as you're walking in the light, your old nature, this understands, I have an old nature. And as I walk in the light, now, how do you see that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. What is it? If we say we have no sin, we're walking in the light. When you walk in the light, you know you're a sinner. You know you have an old nature. How do you know that? You're walking in the light. 1 John 1:7. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We call God a liar. No, we are. And when we walk in the light, that's what's so wonderful, real. I do have an old nature. I do all these things. But I'm able to walk in the light. I'm not excusing myself or trying to cover up something. I'm seeking to enjoy that which God has made possible. I'm able to walk in His presence comfortably because of my relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, we can, over again, now remember we share together. Go with me to Matthew and chapter 6. And what we're doing, we go back and forth. We're trying to understand a practical, profitable, pleasing relationship to God on a 24-hour-a-day basis and not just on Sunday when we go to church or sing. It's rare. Not for my little bit in history. It's rare. People don't do it. Churches don't do it. They don't do it. Chapter 6. Now, what do we know? Remember we said there is no middle ground. You're either off or on. There is no middle. If you're plugged in, if you plug in the plug, the power's where? In the bulb. Disconnect the plug, it's out. There is no middle ground. There is no such thing as middle. I'm halfway. No, you can't be halfway. You're either lit or dark. So therefore, there is no middle ground, spiritual carnal, spirit-filled carnal, old fleshly nature. And either you're either in fellowship or you're not in fellowship. You're either in or out. Say, I'm in. No, you're not. You're either in or you're out. There is no middle ground. Now, we like to, and we do it. We're content with having a middle ground in our mind. And we try to go, and we trust God by our works and everything, and do what we do, so that we're involved. Yeah, I'm a believer, see. Hang on to that. Now, so therefore you're in fellowship, out of fellowship. You're walking by sight or by faith. So, chapter 6, as you know, picking up, please, in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Why not? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and whatever you're trusting in, mammon. You can't do it. Now, to add to that, so you don't lose it, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, cannot do it. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You're either hot or cold, good or not good. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. Think of John 15:6. If you don't abide and don't have fruit, the men look at you and burn you up. You're a hypocrite. They know the difference. You're saying you're something that you aren't. They know. Hang on. I didn't mean to get sidetracked. Verse 18 again. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So there's no question you're going to know them by their fruits. Their fruits. Now, having said that little bit, now, an exercise. And if you like, walking, we walk by faith. Walk by faith. Walking your behavior, as you behave, as you want to work your life on a 24-hour day basis. So we're walking. And we walk. And we walk, and we go to work, we go to school, we go to the kitchen, we go to do whatever. We're walking, and doing, living our life in a way that we do. And we do it. And we do it. And sometime we're with people, sometime we're not with anybody. Sometime we're in the middle of a crowd, sometime not in the middle of a crowd. So here we are, we're walking. Walking, living our life, many, few, much, little. Now, having said that, I thought it would be helpful to put that to work. Now, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith not by sight. Because we see in the dark, that's why we call everything what we do. We walk by faith. Now, I thought it was interesting to me, because you're walking. Now, how, illustrate, please. What do you mean walking by faith? A companion. It's good to have a companion. God is an ever-present help, an ever-present companion. And the way to, a way to illustrate it, that God has illustrated over to Proverbs, as you know. It's a lovely section in Proverbs. Picking up Proverbs in chapter 1. Now, Solomon, what did you find out? I found out that you better understand, if you're going to get down the corridor of time, you better make sure God's with you. And you meet, remember Genesis 3:6. She looked at the tree, and the fruit, and taking it to make one wise. W-I-S-E. To make me wise. Now, chapter 1, Proverbs, Solomon, as you would know. Chapter 1, picking up, please, going directly, because we could spend a couple of minutes on this, but well, just, it's lovely. verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to know. No, I don't want to know. In other words, what we just went through trying to think about the light bulb, who cares about a light bulb? Well, what's that guy talking about? Light and not dark? Mind, soul, spirit. We don't have any of those things. We don't have a soul, do we? You know. And by the way, when I said that, I didn't finish that illustration a little bit, maybe. When you lose both arms and legs, you're the same. If I could take your head off, you're the same. If I play with your brain, you're the same. You live inside. And it's not until you die, when there's nothing here, and we call the person dead because we test them to see if they're in there. And if we don't get a clue that they're in there, then they're gone. The average, oh, I had to get sidetracked, they're gone. They no more are in the body. That's why we bury the carcass. And it goes back to dust because we aren't there. And like it says in Proverbs 12 in that, the body goes and the spirit answers to God. Body goes to the ground. The person answers to God. Now, so here's Proverbs. To make one wise, wisdom, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Sliding over to verse 20. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Now that's the companion. I'm going to have you walk with her. I'm going to have you walk with her. You know, I said all these things to you and all that when I was a boy. And I used to deliver for my father, who worked for the silversmith, Gabeline Silversmiths, different things into downtown Boston and did all that stuff. I told you that, but it's part of my life. And what? And I used to deliver it. I was just a little boy. And delivering gold, lots of heavy stuff, valuable stuff. But whoever go with little boy in a paper bag walking down the street, you know, Scully Square, and if you know Boston, if you know years ago, Scully Square was it was a rough place. But Scully Square today, no, it's political, very high quality. And here you go, business. Anyway, used to go through. And going through it, carrying the stuff. And there was all kinds of stuff there. And I used to always remember God was with me. and therefore I had a companion. So whenever I did what I did, whatever, I had a companion who was walking with me. It made a big difference. I was just a little boy, but I had a companion. God was with me when I did. So now, hang on to that. Wisdom. Wisdom. I want to be able to go with God lit up. And I'm going to have what? God. I'm going to have a realistic understanding. I am in the presence of God. And God is in my presence. I have a companion. Now, God, you're going to personify, yeah. I'm going to take what? I'm going to show you, said God, the Lord Jesus Christ brings to you all the wisdom of God in his person. And when you go down the street, you're walking with God in wisdom. And you want to enjoy who you're with. Does that make sense to you? You want to enjoy who's with you. You know. Is someone there able to handle the problems if you face them? So here's wisdom. Wonderful. Just catch the flavor of what God's trying to get to you simply. Get to us. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, business, and in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused, and stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh, as desolation, and your destruction, it cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why not? Verse 29. For they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I told them to walk with me. They didn't want to walk with me. God said, walk by faith and not by sight. I don't want to walk in the light. I want to walk in the dark. I want my own life. And I'll trust, thank you, God, for saving me, but I'm never going to enjoy your companionship. Do you know in 1 John, you know, for our study, and we're to have what? Fellowship. 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 Not friendship. Fellowship with God. 1 John 1:3. We're to have a unique companionship. Let me just keep reading. That's what he wants. That's how you walk in the Spirit. That's why you trust him. That's why I want him. You and I can never be out of his presence. Never. Exercise it then. Now, so therefore, verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. For who hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear. I'll read it slowly. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Yeah. Now you want to, did you stop there? But then you want to tack on the next piece. Proverbs chapter 8. And what are we doing? Wisdom still busy. Proverbs chapter 8, as you know. Proverbs chapter 8. And picking up wisdom. And what you read in chapter 1? Keep going. Chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is as the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. And then it goes down a whole chapter about wisdom. And just picking up the flavor in and just jumping in. Verse 17, I love them, says wisdom. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will increase their treasure. And as you keep reading, love, just remember 1 John that you're looking at. You'd think, John, can't you keep saying love, right? That's the answer. Your relationship to God. It isn't law, L-A-W. Law condemns us. Love saves us. So therefore, verse 23, I set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or the earth ever was, and you keep going. Sliding over to verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life. Who shall obtain favor of the Lord? But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Wisdom. Wisdom is so glorious. Wisdom says, I'm going to give it and fill you with all the benefits of wisdom, all that wisdom gives. But you're going to want it. You're going to want it. Then you don't get it. You don't get it. You want it. You don't want to stay in the dark. You want to be in the light. That's what you want to be, looking to God. And God said, if you walk with me, you'll have all the benefit in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, and most people don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. Men love darkness, John 3, 18, 19. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and they don't want to be exposed. But why can we be exposed? Because Christ took our sin to where? To the cross. That's why you can be exposed. That's why all the dumb stuff in our head, and we got it. And we have to say, that's why it says, 1 John 1, 8, 9, 10. That's why I said, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. No, we know it's sin. We know I got an old nature. We know it can act up at any time. It's a pain in the neck. But I got to live with the dumb thing till I go home. But when I do, it does there. It's always the same. It's always the same old nature. All about self. I, me, my. All about I, me, my. It's about me. Yeah. I don't pay attention to that. No. God said, reckon it dead. It's there. Don't tell it. Don't make believe it isn't there. It is there. Just count it as dead. Don't go by it. Don't trust it. Don't use it. How am I going to do that? Walk in the light, and you won't be in the dark. Turn the light on, and the darkness goes. What's so hard about that? What's so hard about that? Turn the light on, and everything's the same. You just see it differently. You see it differently. That's what we're talking about. Now, and I trust that helped you a little bit. Now, having said that, go over to Colossians. Wisdom, Christ, God in his wonderful grace, does wonderful things. Colossians. In the great prayer for the Colossae, believers in Colossae. And Colossians and chapter 1, and picking up the movement of thought for the prayer. Verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ, who also declared unto us your love of the Spirit, your love of the Spirit of God. And that's why you keep seeing it, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the relationship, not of law, of love. It's a relationship. God brings you into his marvelous person. And remember, we shared all these things about that love, the word love. God loves you. And therefore, he wants the highest and best for you. And that's himself. God is love. 1 John 4:16. He is love. He wants you to know him. Hang on to that. Now, Colossians. The prayer, Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will. So that what? We can wisely, knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you won't be, you'll know how to use. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. And the wisdom of God, the word of God, helps us to understand. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help us understand the whole simple, wonderful relationship and to practice it intelligently, not stupidly. We aren't talking about pie in the sky by and by. We're talking about life right now. And just because you don't see it, or hear it anywhere. Be careful you don't think like that. And you think, well, they don't see it, I don't see it. Wrong, you do see it. And you should understand. They may not know 2 cents about any of this, but you should. And you practice it. So therefore, in Colossians, the prayer to be filled with wisdom, chapter 2, verse 2, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to keep reading. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you and trick you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. In other words, you're trying to walk in the light as he is in the light. And Paul says, good. Paul's in prison, remember. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As, and here the key, what are you doing? What do you know they're doing, Paul? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, that which you're trusting, God's word, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You're looking to God to do his wonderful work in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And God does what he does, as only God can do it. Now, over to Galatians. I trust you're getting a little bit to understand. It's so hard. Galatians chapter 2. And looking here, it's going to say it simply. Galatians chapter 2, how is the victory we're to have? Wonderful success. Why so? Why is it so? I'm going to read verse 19. For through the law am I dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Christ died, and the law demanded my death. Christ paid the penalty and died for me so that I could have life. Verse 20, what do you mean life? I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. With Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet not I. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. So not I, but faith. I'm by faith. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, with this old nature, I live by or in, little word by or in, I-N. In faith, in God's, where am I resting in? What am I relying upon? I'm relying upon the Son of God, the Word of God, the words of God, the faithfulness of God. That's what I'm trusting in. I'm trusting God. That's how I'm going to go. That's how I am crucified. I have faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ didn't die. Christ died to give me righteousness. Otherwise, Christ would have died for nothing if I didn't get righteousness. So now, God makes it all right in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And our time's gone. I trust you a little bit. I'm trying to make it simple for you. I could just tell you, you ought to understand why. And the more you understand, the simpler it gets. Most logical, practical, real. It just works. Just plain old works. That's all it does. So now, thank you for that, and trust you got a little bit. Thank you.